We're glad you're here today. Thank you for joining online. Before we get going in the sermon, I also want to make a really special announcement. If you know the Fords, Harrison and Bailey, our youth pastor Harrison, Bailey gave birth this morning to an awesome little baby named Lincoln Ford. All right? Yeah. Awesome. So if you get a chance, reach out to them. What's that? Oh, no. I'm pretty sure they'll still take it. But so make sure you reach out to them, celebrate with them. What an awesome gift of the season, right? It happened at this morning, so God is good. It's such a cool thing. And as we move on in the season, our new series called Emmanuel, God with Us, right? And I decided, first off, this is definitely a Christmas theme, Emmanuel, right? And understanding what Emmanuel means. It means God with us, right? And what a cool thing to understand when Jesus was born. First off, he was born as an infant, as a baby, right? And he came in this innocent form. If you've had a kid, if you know, they are at the mercy of everything, right? And they need, that's their life. They need attention, need everything. They can't do it on their own. This is how our Messiah came. Think about that. That he came not as this giant king that the world thought and was hoping for, right? And if you look at Scripture, one of the things that we start off with is in Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet in the Old Testament. And he was an amazing man. He knew the voice of God. He heard the voice of God. He relayed the voice of God to his people, right? And during a time that it was not comfortable to be the voice of God. You guys realize that? Like, this was a time, if you were giving the message, am I dead? All right. Am I on? Is this on? Test. Sorry about that. Whoa. All right, now I really hear myself. Not good. Anyway, all right. Isaiah is given the word of God, and he's given this in 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will become you, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I want you to know, before Jesus came, right, he came, and this was like 700 years before this. This is making the announcement, and during a time that they were begging for a Messiah. They were begging for God to give them a king, to restore their kingdom, right? They wanted somebody to come in with an iron fist to change everything that they feel like they have been wronged by, right? They wanted to bring back what God's chosen people to be restored and be ahead of everybody, right? And God answers 700 years later, with a little baby, innocent, needy, right? In a form that they were not thinking their king, their Messiah, their leader would come as. And what was amazing too, they came to a family that was not rich. They came from a family that didn't have everything, right? This is God showing us how much he loves us, that he sent his son. He could have sent him any shape, form, way he wanted to, and he sent him in the most innocent way. And he needed us, his parents, to take care of him, right? It's a cool thing to think about. And this is how our gift was given to us. And can you imagine being in that early church, being part of God's church, and you hear this announcement that, hey, can you imagine me saying, hey, God's going to come back at this, like, this is how he's going to come back. And then we're all, when's the date? I don't know. He's going to come back. Just be ready. And then 700 years later, How impatient would you be? You're like, okay, when's he coming? Come on, I need things changed, right? They kind of lived in that same culture. They wanted to see change happen for them. And they knew it was going to take a Messiah. They knew it was going to take God to restore their kingdom, just not the way they thought. Not the way they thought, right? And this is where the answer for that in Matthew. You have an angel coming to Joseph in a dream. And it's Matthew 1:23, and this is what they come as a conclusion. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This happens 700 years after, and they're quoting scripture still. They're still quoting this prophecy. They knew. And this is what's amazing. They had seen this sign, and this is what continues, and this is what's amazing about God. He gave this gift for us, right? And it took some patience, right? And he gave us Jesus. We live right now, I hope you live right now in a season of hope. I hope that you understand that we live knowing that God is good, that you have been redeemed, that the sins that you have, have done in your life, if you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, our hope is when we understand it, that it's been eradicated. It no longer holds against you. All right? It was cleansed by the cross, not just by the cross, really by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that cross that came as a little baby. And it started, that whole trip, that whole journey started during this season. And what does a season of hope look like for us? What does a season of hope look like? And I thought, let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 40:31 says this, and we read it this morning, if you don't realize, we read this morning. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Let's stop there. You feeling weak today? You feel tired today? This is what hope does for us. Out of the weakness of who we are, hope comes in through God and restores our strength. Restores who we are. Even in the midst of feeling like we're helpless and hopeless, we're able to get up in the morning because we know who God is and what God has done in our life. This is what a season of hope looks like, right? They will soar on wings like eagles. You know people that have just this joy about them that just live above everybody else feels like? You ever see those people? Like, they're just full of joy. They got a smile on their face. They're these people you're like, I can only take them for this much time because it really pinpoints where I'm at. I think this is one of the sources of hope. When you have God in your life, you live in this season of hope. You live in this atmosphere of joy that's just flying over all these issues. And it's not a matter of them not going through issues. There's people that, their life should stink. You know that they're going through just pain and agony, but they live in this world of joy because they live in this season of hope. Right? They will run and not grow weary. Man, I look forward to that day. I take a little stroll right now and I'm dying, right? Spiritually, can you imagine being able to run spiritually this journey and not going weary? Do you know where that stemmed from? Again, this is the hope that God puts right here, stores in you. Everything is good with God. Everything is great with God. Everything is well with God because I know God is bigger than the issues and the problems that I have, and I can continue moving forward. Even when I stumble, even when I struggle, even when I mess up, I know God is bigger than those things. And the hope that I have is found in God, right? They will not walk and not be faint. Do you understand? Like, there's so many scriptures. We are here to run the race. And I wonder during this time, sometimes we get to a point spiritually too. And trust me, I get there too. I'll get on a devotional track and I love it. And all of a sudden, I take one break. And that break seems to last a week. And I'm going to tell you some things that happened during the week. I get a little more edgier with people. I get a little more frustrated with people. I get a little bit more down on life. I get a little bit more, I get to what I don't have and other people do have. Am I the only one? When we take a break from this race, it affects us spiritually, and we start to lose hope. Because what this race is really is just a life with God. And if you take a break, what you're taking is a break from God. And our desire, I will tell you, the only time that we are whole, the only time that we are satisfied, the only time that we really know who we are is when we are in a relationship with God, our Creator, our Maker, the one that designed everything about you. That is why we are whole with Him, right? But the moment we stop this race, the moment we take a break, and I'm going to tell you, honestly, it happens. So what do we do? Well, how do we adjust to this? We have people that come alongside us and let us know, hey, I noticed something about you. Are you not running the race? Are you not living with hope? Are you not in this season knowing how much God loves you, knowing how much God has done for you? Do you not realize that? I'm telling you right now, church, this as a body is what we're called to do. It might not be those words, it might not be those actions, but it might be a chance to sit down and go, hey, I know my brother and sister is struggling. I'm going to sit down and pray for them first. I can tell they've lost hope in life. I can see it in their actions. I can see it how they live, right? And we put our hope in things that we kind of take from the world, right? I hope that my money lasts so I can retire someday. Anybody else? Right? I hope that we have enough to pay the bills. I hope that my kids go off to college. I hope that they make a life for themselves. I hope they find amazing spouses. I hope these things. I hope success happens. I hope this church grows, right? I hope that we just bust out these doors and we got to keep building. That's my hope. It is. But when I just trust in that kind of hope, and then I go, oh, we lost 20 people this week. Oh, my kid has chosen a horrible spouse. I don't like him. I'm running out of money this week. What starts to happen, my hope starts to diminish because I've put it in the things that are not necessarily from God. A season of hope is based and birthed in a relationship alone with God. And so if I run out of money, God will provide. That's a hard time, isn't it? I will tell you, there has been people that I see that are more joyful and caring when they don't have less than everybody else. You understand that? I don't, but I'm getting it. I'm getting it. When we live in a world that is based on success and what success looks like, it is not the same gospel in which Jesus promotes, because he did not come the same way as thought success would be. Do you get that? Our hope is alone in Jesus. And how he comes, he tells us we are to serve him and to serve others the same way he has served us. That's scary. Because what did he do? The ultimate sign of sacrifice, he gave his life for us in a gruesome manner. And he calls us, the best way to love a friend is to give your life for a friend. Man, during this season of hope, when we get closer to God, we start to understand this world and the promises of this world pale in comparison to the promise of God and the desire that God has for you, right? Let's look at Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. All right, let's stop right there for a quick question. Like, joy and peace sound great, right? Anybody desire to have peace in their own home? Right? Anybody desire to wake up and go, man, I'm filled with joy. It's a Monday. I don't know what's going on. I'm happy it's a Monday. This is weird. Right? Like, if I can wake up and be, like, excited to go to work and excited to go and live in a situation that is not, that I know I'm going to have to deal with conflict, that I know I'm going to have to deal with stuff is not fun, but I go, God is big. I know he's got this. Where does that stem from? Trust. Trust is such a valuable commodity today. We live in a world right now where every voice we can listen to, we question whether it's valid. We question our media, we question our politicians, we question our leaders, we question everything out there today. We don't know what is real. I'm telling you right now, God is real, and he is one to trust. And when we live in that moment of trust, what does that give us? It gives us hope, because I don't have to trust anything else but God. And it makes us understand that when somebody fails us, God is bigger, and it's okay. I don't have to live in that hurt. I don't have to live in that disappointment. I don't have to live in that downward spiral of a relationship. I know that God's bigger than that, and I trust him. And he lifts every relationship up to that. And that gives me hope. I'm going to tell you right now, that gives me hope that I can learn to trust you and others because of what God is doing in here. The more I trust him, the more he sends me out in a situation that seems so hopeless. But the only reason that I am filled with joy and filled with peace is because I know what my God has done for me. And we live in this season of that. And I'm going to tell you right now, we have four seasons, right? Do we know that? Just checking the education system, right? We have four seasons. What are they? Fall, winter, spring, and summer. Okay, just checking. I'm smart. I'm getting there. We live in those four seasons, but in reality, for us, we live in two different seasons of our life. The season we didn't know God, and the season that we do know God. And when you live in the season that we do know God, there is so much hope. We hope that we know and trust God is bigger than all these issues that we see in this world, right? All right, just making sure. I heard two yeses. I tend to wonder if we really believe it. I tend to wonder if we watch too much news and we get caught up in too much of the stuff, and even in our own lives, that we look and see what we have and what we go through and how we live in that, and we think, man, just life stinks. It's unfair. It's not right what I have to go through. But the season that I live in with knowing who God is, I know he's bigger than all those things. And that is not what I base my life on anymore. I don't base it on what I have and I do not have. I base it on what I got as a gift, the ultimate gift. And I did nothing for it. And it was given to me freely. And do I accept that gift? This is the cool thing about Christmas, too. I love gifts. I do. And I will tell you right now, if I do get a gift for something, I'm not the best at that. Once I get it, I want them to open it. And if it's like a month ahead of the schedule, I'm sitting there and I want to see their reaction. I want them to have it. It doesn't need to sit under the tree. Let's go. Let's go. Anybody else? You can wait, right? Now, if somebody else got my family a gift it can sit under the tree, and I would love to see them just agonize and like, we can keep waiting another day. Sure, that you don't, maybe next Christmas you can open it. But if I get that gift for somebody, I want them to open it right then. I want to see their reaction. I think this is installed by God in us because he's anxious for you to receive this gift. He wants you to open it because it's a gift of life. And this is what this life offers. It offers you hope from all the troubles of this world. You get beyond it. Does it mean you don't live through troubles? Absolutely not. It helps you understand how to get through those troubles. It helps you to understand how to live through them. Right? If I have hope that God is bigger than everything, then I need to also trust that he is bigger than those. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what's the source here of this hope? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must reside within you. Must live in your heart daily. So this is a question for you really quick. If you're on a random day and you just been negative, you just see people, you hear people, you're working with people, and you're just like, why is this world this way? I'm going to ask you right now, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to reside in here? Because if you allow the Holy Spirit to reside in here, you start to see the potential of other people that God has created. You start to see and go, I hope that God can use them. I hope they say yes to him. I hope that they know that there's more to life than this. You see how that transformed into my mind and my heart and everything about me? It didn't become about what was being done to me. It became how God can transform their life and how I hope that he does. And I hope that they say yes to him. Because I have been changed. I know this world is not it. I know God has created a kingdom that I am invited to be a part of. And they are too. And the hope that I live in is that they recognize that. That these issues that they struggle with, the hurt that they project on other people, if they only knew and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the season of hope. And I will tell you, when you live in that season, you do fly high. You do see things different in this world. You're not doom and gloom. You're just not. Yeah, you may have somebody that you wish was in office. You may have somebody that you wish was your different boss. You may wish your predicament was completely different. But does not change your attitude of how you face this world. Because they are not the answer anyway. God is the answer to your questions and your issues and your problems of this world. He resolved it. You hear that? It's been resolved. And if we trust that, if we know that, man, it changes our heart and our attitude towards everybody. And during this season, we get to reflect on that. Even if people are out there jumping people for gifts and jumping, like going Black Friday shopping and just going crazy, right? Our thought and our minds turn to the fact that God is in this. God is in this, and he's going to change lives for this. And I get to be a part of this. And how do I show the grace and mercy in this and bring people to a place that they don't have to hope in things that are temporary. They can hope in something that's eternal. Right? And it changes everything. Right? So in Ephesians, it says this. Ephesians 2:13 says this. Let me find it. Or 12. And remember that he's talking to the Galatians, right? And these people that were not part of the church at this time, but they came, they were looked down upon, right? And they were not welcome to be part of the body of God until later on. And so he goes on to say, remember that at a time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners of the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. You see, we can easily look out into this world right now and see there's no hope. And the conclusion is there's no God in this world for them, for the people that live in this world that they feel like there's no hope. The church needs to be different. It needs to be a beacon of hope. It needs to be the light that shines so bright that shows that, hey, this world is meant for more. That we are loving, that we are kind, that we bring redemption, that there's a better way to live this life than what this world sells them. And it is the way that God has designed us. It is the way that God has created us. And the closer that we are to God, the understanding that the hope that we have in this world, in this life, is not from us, it is from God. And the vice versa, the less God I have in my life, the less hope I have. Those two go hand in hand. During this season, we are called to live this hopeful life, to change our attitude, be one of joyful, to be on this walk slash run, this sprint, this marathon of life that gives hope, and everybody that we come encounter with is just blessed by the presence of God. Because what resides here again? What is the feeding of our joy? If you look at Scripture, it's the Holy Spirit. And if you know who the Holy Spirit, if you know and understand the triune of God, that is God that lives within us. And it is the voice and the joy that restores us. It is the hope that we understand that there's a better promise to live by. And when we encounter people, are we bringing them a hopeful desire of a better way of living? It doesn't mean we don't hurt. It doesn't mean we don't mess up. Let me help you out here, right? The Holy Spirit comes in and helps us realign every day the moment we invite Him in. And when we invite the Holy Spirit to live in here, He corrects us, He changes us, and He molds us in a way that is desiring to be this person that God has created us to be. I'm going to be honest, there are Monday mornings that I wake up and I'm not very hopeful. But the moment I spend with God, I definitely get a glimpse of the reality of heaven in a world that I live in. And it brings me closer to Him, and I'm able to only bring hope and joy and cheer and peace and chaos of this world and know that God is in the middle of it. That brings me hope. Right? So as you if you wrap up gifts this year, I want you to think about some things here. I want you to think about how you can be the gift of hope for others. How to live this out, and what that takes is for you to have an honest and real relationship with God. And I would love for you to start this season, this winter season, this Christmas season. Have I taken the gift of Jesus Christ in my life, and do I truly understand it, and am I allowing Him, as I unwrap who God is in my life, to embrace me, all of me, not just little bits of me, but all areas of my life? Have I allowed God to embrace all areas of my life and to redeem all areas of my life? And to be restored in a way that God has desired me to be restored and to live out this hopeful life with Him. I read this quote. It's by Mark Cole. Hope gives motivation and courage needed to succeed. Again, succeed means different for God. It's not America's... being successful in America. It doesn't mean being successful in this world. It means being successful in God. All right? And that totally looks different from us. It's been said that a person can live up to 40 days without food. Whew. 4 days without water. 4 minutes without air. But only 4 seconds without hope. I love this quote. Because what it tells me, too, is there's a lot of people that are dead spiritually because they have no hope. And if you listen to them, they're angry. They're frustrated. They live in hurt. Everything that as Scripture points to, those who know Jesus and know the hope that he provides, is filled with joy, peace. They're ready to run the race. They're excited. They're ready to do and go through battle for God. Somebody who has hope can move mountains with God, can defeat Goliaths with God. Think about how God wants to use you this season through him, and have hope in that. Church, stand with me. This is what let's go back. Can I go back? I'm sorry. I want to go back to this one. May this be your week. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. I pray that your strength is renewed this week. Maybe you feel weak. Maybe you feel lost. Maybe you just don't have the energy this week to do anything. May God renew you. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. May that be us spiritually. May we be excited to serve God this week. May we understand that God has a calling for us and that we are excited to do that. May we be ambitious for God. May we wake up tomorrow morning and go, okay, God, this is a new day and it's your day. May I use this day to celebrate you. May you use me to celebrate you in everything I hope I say, everything that I hope I do this week. May it shine on you. May it point this life to you. We thank you for all that you're doing. Church, may we live out this scripture this week. Read Isaiah 40:31 every morning this week. That's the challenge. To have the hope that God has put in your life to restore you. Church, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done. Lord, may we know what your love has done and how it's transformed us. And I pray that we live in the hope that you will continue that work through us. May we know that through you, amazing things can be done. May we live in that hope and may we trust in you. May we trust in your word and may we walk that out. We give you all the praise. May we be the church, not just in these walls, but the church out in the community that needs to hear the message, the good, good message of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be that, the walking scripture. May we be the walking epitome of hope in a world that seems so hopeless. We give you all the praise. May we be the church that you've called us to be. Amen. Church, you're dismissed.